Hello, and welcome to the 76th episode of the Not Your Mama's Gamer podcast, a podcast where we talk about games and gaming from a feminist perspective. My name is Samantha Blackman, and I'm an associate professor here at Purdue University in wonderful West Lafayette, Indiana, where I talk about, read about, write about, dream about, amongst other things, video games, video games, video games. And I am joined tonight by two of my fabulous podcast and blogger, podcast co-hosts and bloggers, Alex Lane and Charlotte Hyde. Hello, ladies.
Don't you dare introduce me as Alex Lane. Redo.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Mea culpa. As Dr. Alexandra Lane, PhD.
Doctor! Alex Lane, PhD.
Because Alex successfully defended her dissertation this week.
I'm Dr. Lane. I'm Dr. Lane. I can't believe I'm standing in order to do this podcast. Amazing.
You're standing?
I just mean, like, alive.
Oh. I was like, that's going to be tiring.
I'm definitely not standing. But I am Dr. Alex Lane. Dr. Alex Lane. I'm thrilled to be here. I couldn't be happier. I did my dissertation, my PhD, which is in the past now, on women in the video game industry and procedural ethics. So that's what I do. That's my introduction. I'm a doctor. I have a PhD. So you also might see me eating some Indian food tonight. I have some Indian food. You're also going to notice that I'm outside because I'm on my neighbor's internet. I'm going to do the best I can. So, that's me.
So, hopefully their neighbors don't watch.
She didn't say
they
do watch.
She was stealing.
I don't know what this is, if it's paneer or a potato, but it's amazing.
Charlotte.
Okay, I am Charlotte Hyde. I am not a doctor. I am, however, a doctoral.
Not yet.
I am a doctoral candidate, which is also a semi-recent development. So
that is very exciting.
I study professional writing and games, sort of on the side, but getting, you know, more involved.
Further down the rabbit hole.
Yes, that's what I was going for. Further down the rabbit hole. Well, the reason I say that is it kind of ties into our topic tonight.
Yes, it does.
When my aha moment was. So.
Well,
all right. So, let's get to it, folks. We'll do a what you playing, what you reading, what you drinking this evening. And then we'll jump into our topic that we're really excited to talk about tonight. All right. And since we have a newly doctored doctor in the house, Alex Lane.
Furthermore, who knows how long the stolen internet's going to last, so let's move it along from my side. It's also my 100% my fault that we didn't have our podcast out today and record last night. We had my dissertation party on Tuesday night, and I fell asleep at 8 o'clock last night, and I had dropped my phone in water. The toilet. So I didn't have a phone, I didn't have anything, I was very exhausted, I fell asleep, I slept through the podcast, I'm very sorry. So I'll go ahead and go first tonight. So I'm playing Plants vs. Zombies. I also started playing Titanfall, which I hadn't played in the beta, which I know is sort of old news for people, but it's been amazing. I really like it. I like first-person shooters, I always have, but it feels like this one does what Call of Duty has been trying to do for two iterations, which is, like, do something new. Like, they keep coming up with the same first-person shooters with new features, but it's never a new thing. And I feel like this is really makes it a new thing, you know? So I've been enjoying it, at least. I don't know, it's probably short-lasting. But I do enjoy it, and then I've, of course, been playing Hearthstone like crazy. I made a new deck. I made a Dragon Priest, which has been my... It really, like, I was waning from Hearthstone because I was super bored with it. Mm-hmm. I was excited about the news of the expansion that's going to have, like, kind of an RPG element, right?
And
like,
yeah, that's going to be a blast.
It's going to be... It's going to be what?
A blast.
Yeah, I thought you said a bull ass. And I'm like, I'm not familiar with that phrase, but I think it's going to be amazing. But I was totally bored with it until I made this new deck. I think because it utilizes all my amazing cards, like all my best cards. Because that was my thing. I spent like $1 billion on it, and I bought all the best cards. But like most decks only use 2 or 3, so you really only get to use like 1 really good card a game. But this deck, it's like good card after good card after good card, and you just crush people. Although, of course, I get crushed sometimes. But yeah, I've been playing Hearthstone a crazy amount, and it came out on the iPad since our last podcast. So I've been doing it on that quite a bit, which is very good. But I actually haven't played a whole lot new. I bought the 2 expansions for Kingdoms of Amalur, the Dead Kale and Teeth of Whatever, because they were on 75% off this week, so I got them each for $2. So I finally bought those. I also bought an indie game that I've been dying to play. Oh, God, I can't remember the name of it. And I played it, and it was fine. I'll get to it in my Indie Game of the Week segment as soon as I bring Steam up here in the background. But I don't remember what the name of it was. Clearly didn't make an impression, but that's what I've been playing.
Ah. Nice. Charlotte, would you like to go next?
By the way.
What?
Would you like to go next? By the way.
Oh, you are a doctor, by the way.
Okay, cool. Well, despite the fact that I promised I wasn't going to buy any more games.
Yes, you did.
I somehow walked out of Target with a...
Sam, you don't get to judge anybody.
I'm not.
I walked out of Target with a new console instead, and some games. But anyway, I went to Target. I love my Vita, and I really, from that, realized that I love handheld games. Like, really love handheld games.
Mm-hmm.
And at Target, as you may know, they have a whole aisle full of handheld games that I couldn't play. So I rectified the situation.
Welcome to the dark side.
Yes, ooh. Yes, yes.
Indeed.
So the game I originally bought Super Mario 3D World because part of the reason I wanted this was because Mario is pretty nostalgic for me, which I really like Super Mario 3D World, but you know, just having one game isn't good enough, so I had to go back and get another one. And I went and got Luigi's Mansion, which I have been completely addicted to since I got it.
I really like Luigi's Mansion. I only played it on Sam's for a couple hours, but it was very fun.
It is a lot of fun.
It's so cute and cartoony, and he's scared all the time, and it's just it's so fun.
Have you guys seen the video? The video of like how it's like called like the realistic Mario game, and it's like Mario runs up and he smashes into the block, and then he falls on the ground, and he's like, "Oh my God, my head!" Oh my God, he sits up forever, and he's like, ouch, ouch. And then Luigi comes out, and he's like, no, it's fine. And he jumps into it, and then he dies. He breaks his neck.
Oh my God.
Pretty funny.
The only part of Luigi's Mansion that bothers me is that occasionally you have to suck the dog up into the little thing.
Aww.
And I don't like that. The dog always gets to be let go later, but...
I was like, but he comes back.
But it's just the first time it happened, I was very distressed. I was like, I don't want to put the dog in the vacuum cleaner. But then he came back, so it was okay.
Yeah, and he comes steal stuff from you between plays.
Well, yeah, if you die, he'll bring you back. But right. That's also why I was sad to suck him in the vacuum cleaner, because he's helpful.
Yeah, he's, when he's not stealing your shit.
He doesn't steal my shit. When does that happen?
Oh, never mind.
I'm almost in the second to the last world, and he hasn't stolen anything from me.
Well, he
steals like the keys and stuff. I guess I should.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but that's just like. Then I just have to chase him around and suck him back up in the vacuum cleaner.
That's a fair point.
But he's so much fun because he wants to play and stuff. So. Anyway, I'm totally addicted. I've played quite a bit. So.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it for you, or are you still playing others?
That's it for me. I'm still on a hiatus from Rayman Legends. So.
Well, that's okay. Well, let's see. I've been playing more Bravely Default, because as with any good JRPG, it's going to take me 500 hours to complete it. I'm on the Fort of 4 Crystals to reactivate in Bravely Default, and then I'm sure there's going to be this huge boss battle afterwards, and I'll have to go on a journey to find this boss that I'm going to have to battle. So I'm probably... more than 50, less than 75% done if we count that last big battle that I'm sure is coming, because it always works that way. It's like, I got four things to do, and you're like, here's the fourth one, I'm done. There's like, now you must journey to the other side of the world and do this other thing. That's the way it works. So I know this, I fully recognize this, and that's what I'm waiting for. I have also been playing Elder Scrolls Online, still, and more. And my internet had been, we've all been having internet problems. Thanks, Comcast.
Yeah, my internet's been going about every 20 minutes, so we'll see.
Well,
mine got better after this morning, thank God.
Well, it turned out I needed another new modem, because, you know, it's only been a year since I got the last one. So apparently it was time for a new one. Is that, you know, my internet was so spotty and so laggy for the last couple of weeks that it didn't occur to me until my modem went completely out that it was probably my modem. So I had been playing very little ESO. And all the folks that I was playing with have, like, out-leveled me.
What about all the drama with that? What was going on with that?
Well, that was the, there was the exploit in the guild bank that if you put stacks of stuff in your guild bank, it was a dupe bug, so it was duplicating the stacks of things. So, you know, it was just making stacks upon stacks upon stacks of stuff. And, you know, basically making everything in the game freaking worthless because it was, you know, just making a billion of them as long as you have stacks in your guild bank. So, earlier this week, they shut the guild bank down. They shut guild banks down. It's like, okay, we're going to fix this because this is breaking the game and nobody has a bank.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw that coming because it's kind of like been a known exploit for a while. But when it all came out, I was like, yeah, now that it's out, they're going to have to shut the guild banks down. And that's exactly what they did. So yeah, that was what was with that. I've also been playing a lot of Hearthstone. P got sick last week. As with any sick small child, who has to stay in bed and watch TV and play video games, she also wanted her mama near. So I had to stay near her with her. Which meant playing lots of handheld games and lots of Hearthstone. So I've been playing lots of Hearthstone.
Life's hard.
Life's hard. and at the same time, hoping that, you know, when my kid did puke, she didn't puke on any of my devices.
That's all we can ever ask for, indeed.
So, yeah. Finally... I started playing because everybody knows that I was truly and completely addicted to, well, not as much as Sarah, Animal Crossing, both on the DS, both with this iteration and the last iteration back in, what was it, like 2004, 2005. This week, Disney came out with their own kind of what people were saying is kind of a the Disney version of Animal Crossing. It's called Disney Magical World. So I just wanted to check it out because, you know, like I said, it's another Animal Crossing. I will play whatever it comes up.
Of course,
because I'm crazy.
Yes.
So I have been playing Disney Magical World, which, oddly enough, the way that I want to describe it is a RPG trainer for little kids, because it's all about the mechanics of RPGs. You've got fetch quests, you've got escort quests, you've got, you know, You've got farming. You've got leveling. You can't go into certain regions, not because you'll die in this game, but because they're locked until you reach certain levels. It is all RPG training is exactly what it is. So, interestingly enough, I've been playing that, and you'll hear more about it tomorrow. But it is a lot of fun, but oddly, I keep expecting Mickey Mouse to tell me to go out into the forest and kill 10 bunnies. which has yet to happen. But they will tell me to go find things in the forest. So, but nobody's told me to kill anything yet. And that may be the downfall. Yeah. Because you know I like to kill things in the game.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
So, yeah. That is what I've been playing. And that's been fun. So, here's the fun part. What you been reading, folks?
That's not the fun part. Yeah. I haven't been reading anything.
Reading.
Oh, yeah, you have just nothing you want to talk about, apparently.
Nothing I want to talk about. My dissertation, lots of stuff for that, but that's about it.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I'm sort of in fiction mode right now. So.
What you reading, though? Anything good?
Paper Towns by John Green, I think.
You know what I started reading is a Carmilla. It's like a gothic novel. Has anybody read that?
No.
Mm-mm. It's like it's supposed to be like Bram Stoker for lesbians, is what the what they say. Mm. It's like this girl who falls in love with this other girl, and she's a vampire. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, the myth of the vampire lesbian.
Vampire lesbian.
I might have to check it out anyway. I like vampire lesbians.
It's only 99 cents on Kindle, and I watched a movie today because I've been movieing quite a bit, and I watched a movie today that, like, the girls, it was like this all-girls school or whatever, and like this crazy girl who was killing everybody. But anyway, in it, they got assigned to read Carmilla. So that was my, I'm like three quarters of the way through it. It's good. It's short. It's very interesting. So.
Huh. I'm going to ask you again what the title is so I can look it up on my Kindle.
The title is Carmilla.
Carmilla?
That's right. Yep.
I'm going to write that down.
Write it down.
Okay. Well, I've been reading a lot of comics lately. At least it seems like. I actually have been. I'm still reading the Fables comics because they're a lot of fun. Probably why I enjoy The Wolf Among Us so much. So I've been reading comics. I've also been reading lots of text about video games, but not video game books or game studies books, like Parents Guide to Minecraft. And I've been reading the big Zelda, what is it, the Hyrule history. The History of Hyrule book, the big hardcover one. And I got a new Elder Scrolls novel. So I've been reading lots of books that are written about in all kinds of other interesting ways about games because I'm teaching that games writing, writing games course this summer, hopefully. so we'll see how that works out. So I've been doing lots of reading in those veins, and it's been a lot of fun because it's not my kind of usual kind of video game reading. It's not theoretical. It's just about games and from a layperson's perspective for the most part for the last week or so. And I've been having a lot of fun doing that. So, yeah, I think that's about it. And you know what else I've been reading? And I've been reading this one for a while, but I keep forgetting that I'm reading it. Not because it's bad, let me say that, but because it's, I don't know what it is about it. But, Austin Grossman's You. It's the book about the guys working in the, or people, because there's a woman as well, working in the video game industry. And kind of they've grown up together and gone to, gone to high school together, kind of gone their separate ways, and now this one guy comes back asking for a job, and he comes back into the company that these folks have created, and they're going to, you know, ultimately create this game that is going to be like Kick-Ass, right? So it sounds like a dungeon crawler is what it sounds like they're making. But so, yeah, I've been reading that off and on. So we'll see how that works out. Mm. Yeah. I think that's about all. That's about all I'm reading. Now, here's the fun part, Alex Lane. What are you drinking, Dr. Lane?
Dr. Lane is drinking some white wine, a little bit, which is very unusual for me. I'm also drinking some lime sparkling ice.
What? Lime. Oh, the ice drink. Yeah,
sparkling.
I thought ice. You meant like actually sparkling ice, and I was
no, not actual ice.
Because if they're sparkling ice, I need to know about this.
This is the name of the drink. Ooh, not actual ice. Sparkling ice.
Because I wish. I love sparkling things, as we know, because I'm actually drinking.
Well, I'm sure you've had this. Yeah, that's what I'm drinking.
I had it at your house the other day.
Yeah, indeed.
But yes, I have had it. But I'm drinking wine and sparkling water. Shocking, I know.
Yeah, that's the first time I've had it. Is that your house?
The sparkling ice stuff? The molten sparkling ice?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Cool.
All right. Charlotte, what you drinking?
Wine. Did you say, sparkling, you said wine,
sparkling water. Duh.
I want beer, but I don't have that.
Well, last night...
I had enough beer for the both of us, so we're good.
Thanks.
She took one for the team. So last night when we were supposed to record, I was drinking something different. But tonight, I am back to my usual. And I know I said last time I was well, it's different. I told you I wasn't going to drink out of a red solo cup this week.
Yeah, so I thought she was drinking beer, because that looks like beer.
It is not. It is a sneaky.
I believe you. I just, when my mind that wants beer sees beer.
I am not classy enough to pour beer out of a bottle into something. Are you kidding me?
I don't either, but my mother does. She can't drink it out of a bottle.
I was like, I even drink out of a growler. Are you kidding? Just like...
Is it raining where you guys are?
Not yet.
It's supposed to.
Can you hear my rain?
I'm way south of you, so it hasn't made it here yet.
It looks like it's about here, almost.
Crazy. Well, we'll see how this goes with me recording outside.
At least it's not snowing.
That is an excellent point.
That is.
It was snowing last week, so.
Oh, God. Don't mention that.
I'm just saying. I wouldn't be surprised.
It might come back. Hold on. Hold on a second, y'all.
Uh-ohs.
I know.
So, Alex.
Indeed, yes.
Sam said you might have the scoop on some gluten-free beer.
I do. The best gluten-free beer is called Omission. It's the only majorly available beer right now that... here's what they do. So most of the gluten-free beers brew it with sorghum.
Mm-hmm.
And this beer, they regularly, and then they extract the gluten afterwards. So it's much, much better. So that's... it's absolutely my recommendation is the... Omission, it's called. Try that if you're going to try a gluten-free beer. Don't do the Red Bridge is terrible. It's a Budweiser's gluten-free beer. It's very gross. But if you're going to do gluten-free, I mean, booze and wine are really the way to go.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Unless you can get Omission. Omission is very good.
I don't even know if that's the problem, but it just gives me horrible heartburn for days afterwards when I drink beer now. So.
Right, exactly.
I thought I'd give it a shot.
You definitely should if you can find Omission. Otherwise, it's not worth it. It's very... Well, I guess that's in my opinion. Like, the beers taste more like a cider than anything, so...
I like cider, though. So.
See, I don't like ciders.
Yeah.
I don't either. So you might dig it. They're very sweet. Just don't go into it thinking this is going to be a beer.
I know.
Because it's not.
Because it's not, yeah. All right. Oh, while we're on the what you playing, what you reading, what you drinking thing, I have to show these. Why? Because they're neither books nor video games, but they are very geeky in nature. So, a couple of months ago, I signed up for Loot Crate, mm-hmm. and I really liked the first couple of crates that I got, and I was like, but really, I can't just get. As you see behind me, I collect toys of all kinds.
I wouldn't know anything about that.
No, not at all.
Shockingly enough, yeah.
And I have like shelves of toys in my office at work too. I actually had to clear more books out of my office this week to make room for new toys.
Oh dear.
I have to do that in my Lego room. Like, I have to find places to put my academic books so Legos can reside.
There you go. So I was like, okay, so I'm just going to give up on this Loot Crate thing because there's really only so many toys that I need, and I really do like, everybody knows, game t-shirts, because I wear one like every day because I've got 1.5 million of them.
Mm-hmm.
But then they made the announcement that this month's theme for Loot Crate was dragons. Who in their right mind is going to cancel on dragons?
I don't know that I care about dragons.
There's something wrong with you. And I just want to share that.
That's okay, I know.
Terribly, terribly wrong with you. Uh-oh, I think we lost Alex, but yeah. We'll see if she comes back. So I got my Loot Crate, and I got two of the cutest things. Luckily, there was no t-shirt this month, or I would have been wearing a dragon t-shirt. But, okay, so I got two things. I got a Elder Scrolls Online figurine.
Right.
Can you see him? How cute is he?
He's cute.
It's the Nord. His little helmet comes
out.
And then you can put his little helmet back on, and he's ready for dragon duty.
So, all right, cool.
Because he is dragonborn. And he,
I think my cousin got the same box, because I've seen this before on Facebook.
So, and he has an axe in one hand. He actually has a sword in the other hand, but it's in the other room. And then he has a sword in the other hand, and he is ready to battle dragons.
That is awesome. It's not Legos, awesome. But...
It's not Legos. Okay, so, and then that was one. That was my Elder Scrolls Online dragon thingy. And then they also sent a mystery box from Game of Thrones. Okay, I love Game of Thrones. The books and the series. And mm-hmm. I was like, okay, so if you're going to send me Game of Thrones, you either have to send me the Imp or the Mother of Dragons. Otherwise, okay. I don't care what else you send me, I'm going to be deeply, deeply disappointed. So I was really hoping for the Mother of Dragons, and guess what I got?
The Mother of Dragons.
The Mother of Dragons.
My cousin got that one, too. I was jealous of that one, I'll admit.
Look how cute it is. Okay, look. See? For those of who are listening and can't see it, so it's this little Daenerys figurine, and she has a little dragon resting on her arm.
Aw, that is super cute.
You are very jealous.
I am, because my cousin got it, and I don't get into dragons, but she's my favorite character in Game of Thrones, so.
And you cannot beat this, right? See? So, nah.
So I take it back. She's awesome.
And this is the one that you can only get in the mystery box, because they have mystery boxes for Funko figurines just like they have for Legos.
Yeah, it'd be cool if the loot box had Legos, then I would be all over it.
Well, you know, they may somewhere.
Hey, maybe I could start my own business. I could do that.
You could do a Lego box.
I could.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm going to call them up tomorrow.
I think as long as you can call it something else, you can put Legos in it as long as you buy Legos, because you're just redistributing them at that point.
That's so true.
Yeah, I'm really happy with my little Mother of Dragons. Arr. So we'll see what comes next. And I'm going to try to cancel again next month.
Oh.
It's a bad, bad thing.
See, I want to sign up for it, but I don't need extra toys. I mean, it looks like a toy store already in my house. So.
Well, you think mine doesn't? Between me and a five-year-old?
I know, but I don't even have a five-year-old. I can't even point my finger anywhere.
Well, you know what? Let me tell you something. Mine still looked like a toy store before she came along. What happened is for a while, she just started coming in and stealing my toys.
Well, what's funny, too, is my mom came to visit me a couple of weeks ago, and when she left, she was headed to get Legos when she got home. So she actually, she bought a set, and she liked it.
Legos are good.
Yeah. Yes, they are.
So, awesome. Well, let's go through, while we're waiting for to see if Alex Lane gets to log back in. We'll go through some quick news this week. We've already talked about a little news item. That was ESO's dupe bug. And then we have a couple of other things, including the fact that, so we have PlayStation Now that's being beta tested right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's come out in the beta test that PlayStation Now is going to have a rental system. So they're going to rent games as well as sell games.
Right.
Which I think is absolutely brilliant.
I do too.
It only makes sense. And it's something that I've been saying for a long time in terms of, like, Xbox Live and PlayStation is that they sell these games. If they want to make additional money, because, you know, they're like, people are like, well, they'll lose money. No, mm-hmm. No, you really won't, right? Because people who really want to play a game for, you know, 40, 50, 60, 100 hours are not going to continuously rent a game.
No.
And even if they do, you know, if you're
going to make money,
you're going to make money. And you may make more money than you will selling it to them. Right? It's just like Redbox, right? Because you go to Redbox, you're like, okay, I'm going to rent this game. It's $2 a night. Right? So if you're playing, you want to play that game, say, 100 hours. Unless you're really playing 10 hours a day, if you're only playing 3 hours a day, it's going to take you a month to play that long, and you still make the price of the game to sell the game itself. So you're still making money. And what difference does it make, right? So you have that going on. And then you also get people who would rent the game just to try it out, because you really don't get the real feel of a game from a demo, because the demo may or may not
start at the beginning.
Right.
That drives me crazy. They just throw you into the action, and I'm like, wait, hold on.
It's like, I don't even know how to do this.
And right? I want to know what the story is. Like, what's happening here? What's going on?
You don't know the lore. Right, exactly. Which is why I rarely play demos. What I actually do is I'll go rent a game from Redbox to see if I want to play it, or I'll rent it from Gamefly and then just keep it, right?
Yeah.
That happens to me a lot. I'll rent a game from Gamefly, and I'll be like, okay, I like it, and I'll, you know, click the little keep it button, and then I buy it, and I don't have to send it back. It only makes sense to do that kind of thing, because I'm sure there are tons of people like me who do the same thing, right? And if you offer them, I mean, seriously,
Absolutely. I think it's fantastic.
If PlayStation Now, if Xbox Live did the same thing with game rentals, I would drop my Netflix, my Gamefly account.
I don't
generally use Gamefly to play a game and send it back. I use it as a testing service to see if I want to keep the game, buy the game, keep the game, and send it back. Well, you know what? I might keep Gamefly because I rent a lot of DS stuff because kids' DS games are really sketchy.
Yeah. I was really scared when I bought Luigi's Mansion, but I really wanted to try it, and it looked really cool, and you recommended it, and the lady at Target recommended it, but I was still nervous. I would rather play a demo or something first to make sure that I didn't just throw away, you know, $30 or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And $30 is one thing, but when you're talking about Xbox or PS3, you're looking at $60.
Right.
And that's a whole nother ballgame.
That's a whole nother ballgame.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and that will increase the number of games that I buy digital distribution easily. And Xbox is going to have to follow suit real quick with that one.
Yeah, and I was reading, too, that right now they're not doing it for the Vita, but for me, when it does happen on the Vita, it will be like a godsend because, as I've talked about before, Vita games can go terribly wrong.
Yeah.
And I want to know that before I spend even $30 on it.
Right. I mean, but see, what that means without being able to rent it is that you just buy fewer Vita games. Right? It's like, well,
yeah,
I don't...
There's I'm not scared to buy them at all right now, so at least they're getting the rental fees. So.
Right, exactly.
Right. I mean, really, right now, ever since the whole Lego Marvel Superheroes thing, I'm sort of like, I'll just see if it comes up on PS Plus, whatever it is.
Right. Exactly.
And then I'll play it, so.
So I've always wondered if this is connected in some way, but I've always said that if this starts to happen, it will be connected. GameStop is closing 120 stores.
Yeah, I saw that.
And focusing on mobile. Which
but 120 stores is not really a lot because it says
It's not. But I've always said if PlayStation and Microsoft get smart, they'll put GameStop out of business, right? If they start renting games, right, where people can try them or play them short term, then people don't have to go. People will be less likely to go buy used games or buy games and then sell them back. Right,
well, that's true, and it might also be really excellent for indie games, like with the Kindle books. You can get a sample of whatever, and then you can decide if you want it, which might make people more interested in. Who aren't already on board with indie games, more interested in playing them.
I mean, because some of the best games that I've played in the last couple of years have been indie games.
Absolutely.
I mean, and there are a lot of people who don't play indie games either because, one, they don't know that they exist, or they think that indie games are lesser games than AAA titles. Yeah. But some of the best games that I've played
The case with Kindle books, anyway, is that when the Kindle came out many years ago now, I was skeptical of indie books, but the transition in there has led me to literally be very, very skeptical of best-selling books.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like them. I stay away from them unless there's a lot of really good reviews, and usually they have to be from people I know because a lot of those best-selling are just formulaic, you know, same old, which we see also with video games. The same thing.
Oh, yeah.
And with the indie games, you get more, I don't know, I think more originality sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because we've talked about this before, because they're working with less of a budget. They don't have a gazillion dollars to work with, so they're forced to be more creative and to do more cutting-edge things with less, and that gives you some spectacular kind of cutting edge game mechanics that you really don't get with AAA titles because, you know, AAA titles are afraid to try new things, right? They know that they still got to sell, you know, 10 million units, right?
Yeah. Or even just great stories that the AAA titles don't always pay attention to.
Right.
I mean, like what comes to mind is Lone Survivor, which maybe doesn't have great mechanics, but the story was sort of blowing me away, just like the way it all works out. And I was like, this is not what I expected, because it looks terrible, and a AAA game can't look terrible.
No.
But
it can't, because you can't sell it.
No, but I was way more mesmerized by Lone Survivor than I had been in a AAA game in a long time. So,
I mean, and then AAA titles try new things, and it's something that, indie games try new things. That's why we get these really kind of narrative-heavy games that may not look at or use game mechanics in the same way that we're used to, right?
Right.
We get Gone Home. We get stuff like, you know, the Telltale games, right? We
right.
got The Walking Dead. Now we've got The Wolf Among Us. We've got, you know, even Borderlands and Game of Thrones coming out by Telltale. Right?
Oh, so yeah, I didn't know that. Borderlands?
Yeah, they're doing a Borderlands.
Oh, neat.
That's going to tell the story, right? It's going to be a prequel that's going to tell the story. I mean, it all started way back in the day Like, it's so long ago. What was that, like 3 or 4 years ago? It was Heavy Rain. Rain, right? And
That wasn't independent, was it?
No, I'm just talking about the new game mechanics, right?
Yeah.
With Heavy Rain and people saying, it's not a game, it's not a game. But we've had, so 4 years ago. So now we've had other games that are going this way that are using game mechanics that are not the traditional game mechanics, but are focused heavily on the narrative and are still immersive and interactive experiences, right?
Which, of course, I love.
Exactly, and that's what a lot of people love in their gameplay. Is, I mean, we play games, especially people that, I won't say just people who play RPGs, but especially people who play RPGs are playing for the narrative, right?
Yeah.
You know, otherwise, why would you sit back and read book after book in any of the Morrowind games?
Right.
Because I'm very guilty of doing that. So, yeah, that's always a lot of fun. So, oh, man, that's news. Hold on, we got one more news item. Oh, no, two. So, counting back days now. A little over a week ago, the guys at Ubisoft were live streaming some gameplay and playing around, and then one of the devs danced off and came back with this huge poster that revealed the rumored new design for Jade for Beyond Good and Evil 2. So, yes, apparently Beyond Good and Evil 2 is not dead. And not only is it not dead, but we now know what Jade is going to look like in Beyond Good and Evil 2.
I literally could be the worst person to be on this with you talking about this.
Because you never played Beyond Good and Evil?
No.
It's one of the most awesome games ever. You should go and play it right now.
I feel like I own it on Steam. I know I do, but I own it. I own it on something. Oh, I own it on Xbox.
I was going to say, they re-released the HD version on Xbox like a year or two ago. And it's a good game to play. Yeah, it was really cheap. You should actually check it out. It's a really great game. And you, because I know kind of the kinds of games you like, you will like it. A lot.
Well, as it happens, summer's happening very fast. So
summer's happening, and so with summer happening, you definitely need to go ahead and play that and be ready to play Beyond Good and Evil 2 when it comes out.
Okay.
Rumor of the week, which actually makes me very, very, very sad, because I was very excited, and now I am less excited. Because the rumor of the week is that Batman Arkham Knight may have actually been delayed to 2015.
I so hate it when that happens.
And that makes me sad.
Not that it was a good game, but I remember when Dead Rising 2 was coming out. They delayed that stupid game. Like, every time I was fixing to come out, it would be, oh, wait, it's going to be another 6 months.
Well, I mean, delays happen, right? And I know this, but it doesn't stop me from being sad because I'm still waiting for Watch Dogs. I know it's coming next month, but I'm still pissed that it didn't come in November, that I didn't get to play it at launch with my Xbox.
No, that's what I'm saying. I understand that they're sad. Very, very sad.
And I'm sad about Arkham Knight. I mean, because you know what? They showed me, it was like, hey, Batmobile. And I was like, okay, I'm all in and ready now. Just show me where to sign up. Show me where to pre-order. And then now they want to come back and say, now I got to wait until next year. Not like I don't have a billion games to play that I'm already behind on. I have fallen so behind in my gameplay this semester. And now I'm starting this new research project around Elder Scrolls Online, which means I'm going to fall even more behind in my single-player games. So, I guess I can wait. Maybe I'll be caught up by 2015.
You won't be, please. Look who you're talking to. I don't even know how many games I have.
I know.
Ridiculous.
I can't. It's my fault because I can't slow down. I'm buying stuff.
Yeah, well, I've tried that for a little bit. At least a couple of days.
It doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
At least a couple days.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think I wrote the thing on Wednesday and bought the 3DS on Friday. Yeah.
Well, that was a couple days. That worked.
Well, yeah.
Just think about what you could have bought in those couple of days.
Yeah. I can't say I regret it, though. And I'll admit, though, when I first opened the box and fired up the 3DS, I almost immediately returned it because resolution is really important to me. And I knew it was going to be bad because it's Nintendo, but I didn't know how bad it was going to be. And I was like, I can't do this. But then I thought, well, let me just fire up a game and see what happens. And then what happened was I completely forgot about how bad it looks. So.
Uh-huh. Well, you know what? It's different. It's not supposed to be PlayStation resolution because you're playing different kinds of games. So the games that you play on it, like Luigi's Mansion, like Super Mario 3D World, look 3D Land, look but they aren't PlayStation. They aren't Vita resolution.
Right. So that's what. Okay. Oh, I was just gonna say, 'cause that's what the conclusion I came to after I was playing 3D Mario World is that I immediately forgot it looks beautiful. The 3D doesn't bother me like I've heard it bothers other people. So other people say it gives them a headache, but I've never had it hasn't been a problem for me. But so the 3D part's sort of cool, especially in Mario. But I don't know if it plays as much a role in Luigi.
Yeah. You know, the only thing about the 3DS with the 3D is that occasionally they will have those games that you have to play, you have to turn the 3D on, and that one is, one of those is Zelda, Legend of Zelda, the new one, Link Between Worlds, is that when you're in some of those dungeons, because of the depth, and they do like these Escher type maps in order to actually see whether a level is above or below or to the left or to the right of another level, and so that you don't walk off into an abyss and die on a bed of sharp spikes.
Yeah, and I feel like it's sort of necessary with the Super Mario 3D, because sometimes if you don't have it up high enough, I can't tell what I'm supposed to do. But yeah. I'm just happy that it doesn't give me a headache, because I've heard people say, oh, I can't play it for more than 30 minutes, and apparently I don't have that problem.
It does. So. When I have to turn it on, I turn it on as low as I possibly can and still see the depth, mm-hmm. And then I turn it off as soon as I'm done with that section, because it will give me a headache.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me at all. So.
And, you know, part of that might be the fact that I need new glasses.
Well, that may be. I just got new glasses. I don't know. So I did have some struggles at first with, you can't really move around a lot, because that'll be weird. Because then it, like, distorts the screen
mm-hmm.
in a way that doesn't happen. Yeah. On the Vita, you can move around all you want. The screen stays the same. But
right. You have to add it, like, dead on, or you can't see the depth of the 3D, which is, you know, another issue.
Yeah, but I sort of got used to it. Sort of. I mean, I guess what I really got used to was it just getting distorted sometimes.
Yeah.
Because I'd move around.
That drives me crazy, though, because then you're seeing two of everything.
Yeah, but then I'm like, oh, stay still. I don't know. I still love it.
Yep. I'm glad. I don't feel bad now for encouraging your craziness.
Yeah. You didn't encourage that purchase. I was just... You know, you go to Target and you go to the Vita games and they have the Sad 4 games that are the same as every time uh-huh. I go to Target. And then every day I would have to walk by the 3D aisle and it's like, oh, man.
Yeah, there's a whole aisle.
Yeah. And not all of them look interesting, but enough of them do that it was distressing. So.
Yeah, they get you.
Yeah, that's okay.
And they put it over next to Skylanders.
I still don't have an Xbox One, and I refuse to get into Skylanders. So, well, I feel like Skylanders would be like a whole other Lego thing where I'd have to keep buying and buying and buying and buying.
Well, yeah, because they come out with a new Skylanders every 6 months. Because now they came out, they finally discontinued the Skylanders Swap Force, which had been out, what, less than a year? And now they have, they've announced what their new Skylanders line is going to be. It's like Skylanders traps or something. So now they come and you can put them in traps or some craziness. Yeah. So, and this is like the fourth, is this the fourth iteration of Skylanders? Skylanders, Skylanders Giant, Skylanders Swap Force, and yeah, now Skylanders, that's sad that I knew them all, and now Skylanders Traps. So, yeah. They're worse than the Disney Infinity, but you know what I have to say? They're more fun than Disney Infinity. Because, you know, they're all made for kids in many ways. But the Skylanders, adults can play and have fun. Disney Infinity, we collect those because P likes them, and a lot of them are Disney characters or Pixar characters, and she has fun with them. But they're not fun for me. Yeah. I do not have fun playing those. And to a certain extent, because she's used to playing not mature games in terms of mature content, but in terms of mature game mechanics, yeah. After an hour or two, they're not a whole lot of fun for her. So, you know, you pay $13.99, plays with it for like an hour or two, and maybe we'll go back to it once she forgets, or to put characters together inside of a certain world. But we really don't get much gameplay outside of maybe 3-4 hours tops out of each character. So I really don't, I don't just kind of buy them willy-nilly like I did with Skylanders, because I would play with the Skylanders, because I'd play Skylanders, right. And I'd be like, look, I need a second water character to do this. And I would, like, leave and go to Target and get another one.
Well, that's what I'm afraid of. What I'm afraid of. I do that with Legos. If there's a new Lego, I'm acquiring it. Dang it.
Yeah.
This is not a good situation. So.
Yeah, it's not. At all.
Well, it's a good situation.
But we'll see. So, Alex Lane is still trying to get back on because as she was worried with the rain, it seems that she has lost her neighbor's internet, so now she's trying to log back in with her phone somehow. She's trying to download Google Hangouts for her phone. That's dedication, Alex Lane. So we'll see how that works out. And if she comes back. But we're going to go ahead and get started with our topic of the week this week, which is one of the things we thought about sharing with everybody was kind of our aha moment. And the way that the aha moment has been discussed and described amongst our little group is kind of that moment that made you realize not only why game studies as cultural critique are necessary, but why we do game studies as cultural critique, we individually, right, or as individuals. and because you probably heard me talk about it in bits and pieces beforehand, I'm going to go ahead and wait to go and ask you, Charlotte, what's your aha moment?
Okay, well, sort of what I was alluding to at the beginning of this episode was I don't know that I consider myself somebody who studies games yet, but I'm getting more and more interested in it. And when I first met you, it was sort of like, oh, game studies is fun. You're trying to ruin games for me. You know what I'm saying? But then Tomb Raider came along. So my aha moment is fairly recent, I guess. I feel like they sort of took it too far with the first scene that I'm apparently the only one who ever failed at. And the guy said, shh, it'll be over in a minute.
Yeah.
And that was my aha moment. So I have to preface it because it's not that I didn't care before, it's that I didn't really want to think about it. But there was no getting past that moment in Tomb Raider and the one that came after it, the bigger one. So
yeah. I mean, because there were multiple kind of rape scenes in Tomb Raider. And they were glaring. There was no getting around them.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, I know that when the big one was revealed, when they first revealed Tomb Raider, and people went ape shit, you know, Crystal Dynamics, the reps were like, no, that's not a rape scene. Mm-hmm. That's not what it's going to be, right? And I was like, yes, that's exactly what that is. But then to see that it actually happens multiple times in the same game, it's like, now how could he with a straight face say that's not what that is when, one, it had already happened at least once beforehand, and it happens later in the game as well, right? You have those mm-hmm. moments. And interestingly enough, it's always brought about by a fail state.
Yeah.
Right? and it's pretty horrible.
It is pretty horrible, and you know, I'm not that good at gaming, unfortunately, and so the fail state of the big rape scene, I had to play through, I don't even know how many times, before I could get past it. You know, so it sort of does make you think, you know, what kind of dedication is that? I mean, I had a reason to play it at the time, but I could sort of see how somebody might put that down and say, that's enough, I can't get past this, and I can't watch it anymore, so.
Yeah, I mean, because I can't imagine having to have play that scene multiple times.
I did, like, I don't even know. It had to be like 5 times or something.
Yeah, I cannot imagine. You know, and see, that was an interesting conversation. I don't know if it was a conversation we had on here, if we had that conversation. I had a conversation somewhere else recently, was when we were talking about the reason I quit playing Red Dead Redemption. Yeah. Is that because there's the scene where the woman from the brothel is being raped and murdered in the street.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, you know, but if you have the ability to save her. And I'm like, but I didn't. Right? And it should not be that.
Why does she need to be saved?
Exactly. One, why does she need to be saved from that in the first place? Yes, it was the Wild West. Maybe you shoot her in the street. People got shot in the streets. I wouldn't mind that. You know, I don't mind women, you know, getting killed in the same ways that men do, but don't sexualize the violence, mm-hmm. right? And don't try to make it titillating, right? And don't make it so pornographic and not, you know, pornographic in the traditional sense, but pornographic, right?
Well, and that was my other aha moment, which came after Tomb Raider with Heavy Rain, even though I played Heavy Rain prior to Tomb Raider, but that was back then, and I didn't want to think about it. When you had said, there's a rape scene in Heavy Rain, and I was like, no, there's not, because to me it didn't read that way until I thought about it that way. Because to me, it looked like she was getting robbed, or they were trying to kill her, or whatever, but When you watch it again, it's obviously, I mean, it's at least sexualized, whatever's happening there.
Uh-huh.
So, in a way that doesn't need to be. If the same scene had a man in it, they wouldn't probably be in his underwear and on the bed, so.
Right, and thrown about and, Yeah, it wouldn't have happened in the same way. I mean, I'm okay with violence. Trust me, I'm more than okay with violence. But, yeah, it doesn't need to be sexualized in that way. And so many games tend to do it. And you know, we see it in a lot of media that kind of surrounds geek culture. Because we were chatting online last night, Sarah, who's working diligently to finish one of her final papers of her undergraduate career, I said I was watching a new anime, Sword Art Online, which is actually about an MMORPG, and she goes, oh, that's the one. And we remember we talked about we had a couple of episodes ago when we talked about kind of our breaking points for certain things.
Where
she talked about a specific anime where there's a tentacle rape scene.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And up until that, and she goes, "That's the one." And I'm like, "What one?" She was like, "The tentacle one." and I was like, which is sad, because I was on, I watched the first couple of episodes, and I was And this is not to say that I won't continue to watch that anime, but I will probably skip the tentacle rape episode.
Right.
To be sure. And then she also kind of warned me that season two gets worse than season one. And there's the question. It's like, okay, so here's this game. This anime about people who get trapped in a video game, right? And they become their characters, and their characters become them.
Mm-hmm.
There is one, at this point, I'm a couple of episodes in, there's one main, she's not the main protagonist, but there's one female character who has a significant role. And I'm sure she's going to be the tentacle raped one, right? Because everybody else has been male so far, and you can see kind of female characters as basically what you would call NPCs kind of thrown about. Even if they are considered actual players, they don't have speaking roles, and if they do, they're just kind of ambient noise.
Mm-hmm.
So you have this one who kind of... And it's almost as if she's being punished because she's a true badass. She's going in and she is just as good of a player as the male characters. So it's been interesting because it's like, okay, so she's now going to be punished for being that character. She's now, because, you know, girls aren't supposed to be good at games, so how are we going to punish her? Tentacle rape, right? It's like, it's the only way to punish her, is to put her in her place. And you ask yourself over and over again, why do we keep seeing this happen? Why are women constantly put back into their place? We see it with Lara Croft. We see it with the female journalist in Heavy Rain. We see it with, you know, all of these different characters. It's like, want to put a woman in her place because she's been too mouthy, too nosy, too aggressive. Male characters have to objectify them in some way and or threaten or commit rape.
Yeah.
And those are aha moments, right?
Yeah, and I mean, it even obviously extends outside of the game, too, because... I keep thinking about that video I wrote about. And also sort of what Sarah wrote about today was the, you just can't get away from it. You Google anything, and it's something like that is going to be the first thing that comes up.
Right.
And that's...
Go ahead.
It's just like, it's frustrating to even try to do any kind of search on anything that has anything to do with women and games without it becoming something you have to look at, something that's disturbing and insulting.
Right.
And degrading. Yeah.
I mean, and yes, all of those things, and right, because Sarah and I had this conversation before, because Sarah is passionate about bronies and My Little Ponies.
Yes.
But, you know, we see these kinds of communities that kind of start to revolve around and evolve around media that are supposed to help empower young girls, mm-hmm. right? And Sarah and I had this conversation because I had a conversation with some young men at a toy store a month or two ago, because there is now this new community that is kind of here and there being called Brozen, right? So kind of like bronies for Frozen.
Yeah, I heard about that for the first time today. But yeah.
And so there was a group of young men, and they were college age, so 18, 19. And since, you know, and I also kind of, not only did they look to be college age, but it was the middle of the day, and they should have all been in school if they were high school students.
Yeah.
But they were in the frozen aisle at the toy store, and they were making some really inappropriate comments. And there were mothers there with children. And I just say mothers because I didn't see any fathers there. But there were mothers there with children. And I was there, and I want to say that P was probably with me for some strange reason. Even though it was the middle of the day, but I remember specifically thinking, well, they can't be high school kids because they should be in school. So it may have been one of her weird days off or some such thing. But, I actually, you know, asked P to stand here for a second, like where I could see her. And I went and talked to them, and I was like, look.
I wish I could have been there to see this.
In my calmest voice, I had to tell them, that shit is inappropriate, and we're going to have a real issue if you don't get what you came here and get the fuck out. Mm-hmm. You know? And I was like, so whatever you're talking about now, that shit ends now.
Wow.
And it's like, why do I have to do that? Right, and so it is, you know, and this is not that this is the case with all quote-unquote bros and guys.
Right.
But, you know, and there's been lots of conversation going on Facebook about Sarah's post for today as well. But as one young woman put it, so if someone gives you a fruit smoothie, mm-hmm. that's 80% fruit and 20% shit, do you say, oh, it's still fruity good, even though it's... So it does become this thing of, you know, when you have a significant portion, and a significant is anything more than one, portion of folks that are ruining your batch, it does become easy to say, maybe, you know, the community existing as a whole becomes problematic because it does in many ways... perpetuate this kind of behavior. Because it's, you know, it is utterly and completely inappropriate and likely to get your ass kicked for you to stand in a toy store and talk about the sexual attributes of Elsa as a character.
Mm-hmm.
When there are children or others around. It's inappropriate for you to talk about that about any character. It's inappropriate for you to stand in the book section and talk about characters in the Game of Thrones that is violently and sexually pornographic at points,
mm-hmm.
to a degree, if you want, depending on how you want to use the word pornographic. I don't consider it pornography, but explicit. How's that?
Explicit.
It's still inappropriate for you to stand in a book aisle and talk about that shit. Right,
yeah.
Take that elsewhere, right? And it's even more inappropriate for you to stand in the toy aisle when there are children around, right?
Yeah.
So after I had convinced them that it was time to move along, P goes, Mama, are they in trouble?
Oh, they're probably still talking about that.
And I'm sure they are not saying anything positive about me at all. But you know what? I don't give a fuck. I really don't.
No.
I mean, and these are things that give me, you know, these aha moments. They go, okay. I mean, and, you know, and Sarah was fully aware that her post today was probably not going to be very popular. But I have seen Sarah talk to young men about bronyism before, so we shall see how this all pans out in the end.
Yeah, I think Alex is still having problems.
Yeah, it looks like it. So, anything else about your aha moments before I...
No, I think that just sort of got me more interested in the whole thing. Of course, now I can't play a game without thinking about. I mean, like I'm even playing Luigi's Mansion, and I'm looking for them to make a mistake.
Well, there are no women.
No, there's no women, but and I do have to suck the dog into the vacuum.
Oh, I know. That makes you sad to have to.
But so far, I haven't been utterly offended anyway. But there's no women, but there's only him, too. So there's some women ghosts. They have women ghosts.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. I had to think back. I haven't played in a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, so my aha moment, and I was trying to think of what my aha moment is, you know, because I have two different aha moments. My first aha moment is when I decided that game studies was a thing that I wanted to do, needed to do, should do. Well, I always wanted to do games. And it was funny because I'm so much older than some of my cousins. I'm the oldest child of the oldest child in my family. And my mother is 20 years older than her youngest sibling. So her youngest sibling's children are more like my nieces and nephews than my cousins, because yeah. That's kind of where we fall age-wise. And on Facebook, we were talking about games one day, and my cousin was like, yeah, it was because you guys gave us a Dreamcast. And I was like, we gave you a Dreamcast? And they were like, yeah, you gave us a Dreamcast, and this is when we started playing these things. And I said, okay, so I feel like I am responsible in many ways for some of these things. But my aha moment, hold on just a second. All right, apologies. So my aha moment, my kid fell asleep in the car on the way home from the zoo and slept like all afternoon and half the evening, so now she refuses to go back to sleep. Because, you know, she should have been asleep 2 hours ago. Yeah. So my aha moment was probably pretty soon after I moved here. So that would have been in 2000. So the Dreamcast was still fairly new. But I was playing a Dreamcast game because I played a lot of games that my cousins / cousins were playing, because we would play the same games, and you could play through the internet back then. There was a modem that you could buy that went with the Dreamcast. Yeah, the Dreamcast came out in 1999, so you could play some games online together, and that's how we continued our gaming together, was through the Dreamcast. And there was a game, it was a boxing game, that had a character who was so stereotypically racialized that I stopped for a moment and just kind of stared at it. Uh-huh. And I was like, okay. So, and this is probably why the guilt hit me. This is probably why I felt so guilty now that I think about it, is because we had bought them this Dreamcast. I felt like I was, contributing to this.
Aiding and abetting.
Aiding and abetting, yes. But it was like, what is this teaching my, what is this teaching, I always call them my nephews anyway, and what is this teaching my nephews about race?
Yeah.
And it hit me so hard. And I was like, I realize this. And I'm a gamer. And it took me a while for it to kind of hit me in this way. What about parents that are giving these games to their kids and aren't gamers? Right? They don't play the games. They don't play games with the kids. They send their kids to their room to play the game, so they never even walk past and see these things and see these actions. So they never see what's going on, and they never get to talk to their kids about it. I was like, this is something that needs to be talked about. And that was kind of my aha moment. for my decision to kind of do game studies. So that was like in 2000, right? And then that became the moment where I started to try to figure out how to do game studies, because this was new. Game studies was new at that point, right? It wasn't until, Jim G's book came out that, you know, folks started saying, and the humanities started saying, okay, games are something we can do in the humanities and talk about what they teach, right? So it took a while, right? And I started to play games more critically, think about them, take notes, right? That's when games stopped being all fun and games. But you know what? They really weren't up until that point, because I had noticed these things before. But to me, they were just games that I played. And it wasn't until that moment that I guess I was mature enough to say, what is this doing in terms of children? Right, or even not in terms of children, but younger people, or even people in general, right? Yeah. Because, I mean, I don't think just about kids now. I think about people in general. What is this saying about society to gamers in general, right? And that was that moment for me. And so I guess I needed to reach a certain level of maturity before this was something that was ready to run in my own mind.
I was just saying, you just brought up a really weird memory from my childhood,
which is
I hesitate to even bring it up, but I don't mean to criticize either one of my parents, because they're awesome people, but a situation happened where, do you remember the cartoon Heavy Metal?
Yes.
Well, I think my dad let me watch it, but he didn't realize I was watching it.
Mm-hmm.
And then my mother caught me reenacting this with the Barbies.
Oh.
And so, I don't know, I think about that occasionally, because it sort of demonstrates to me how much it really affects people to see stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't think anything was wrong with it, which is the scary part, of course.
Well, you were a kid. You didn't
think anything. I just remember being very perplexed as to why my mother was mad. Not at me, but mad in general.
Right. Well, you were a kid, one. And two, it was a cartoon. Kids never think
right. That
cartoons are bad.
I just thought we were watching a cartoon. And I don't even know that my dad thought I was watching it. I don't remember that clearly, but...
I never, like Autumn doesn't understand, like, she'll see cartoons, like, you know, we have Netflix that are divided into accounts, and there are restrictions on her account, but she'll, like, come, like, sometimes when we're watching Netflix on, like, the game room TV, I'll just turn my account on, and she'll see anime, and she'll be like, can I watch that? And I'm like, no. She's like, but it's a cartoon. I'm like, so let me explain to you. There are different kinds of cartoons. There are cartoons that are for children. And then there are cartoons that are too grown up for kids, because they deal with things that kids shouldn't have to deal with. And those are grown up cartoons. And it has taken a while for her to understand that, you know, some cartoons are for grown ups. You know, even though, you know, people think all cartoons are for kids. And you know, especially when we were younger, Charlotte, I mean...
Yeah, it was a cartoon.
People thought cartoons were for kids. Yeah.
That one was not.
So, yeah, I totally and completely understand.
And that's sort of an extreme example, but I think that the whole rape culture and everything, it just feeds into it, even with adults. You know, it's just like no big deal.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right, and I know that I probably pissed some folks off, because someone on Facebook had posted a picture, and people were starting to share it. It was supposed to be cute. It was, and I think I showed it to you guys. There was like one cat with another cat, and the cat was like licking the other cat. Like, cats clean each other.
Yep.
And the cat who was being licked was like, what are you doing? And then the cat who was doing the licking said, shh, just let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, how can people think that's cute or funny? I was like, this is rape language, and you can't put it on cute cats and say now this shit is funny.
Right.
So, you know, and I took issue with it on someone's post. And then there was a little discussion, and then they just kind of started to ignore me. And I was like, well, that's okay, because I've said what I needed to say at this point, and maybe somebody will think about that.
Yeah.
Because it's just not okay.
No. It's not. So,
yeah. I mean, and so we have those moments, and sometimes we have those moments where we have to make those decisions, right, of whether or not you're going to be that woman. You're going to be that girl. You're going to be that person. You're going to be that guy, right? And yeah, sometimes, but, you know what? You got to be.
Yeah, and I used to be more forceful, but I think I'm sort of more in what, similar to what you just said now, is I'm pretty happy to say my piece and let it go and hope they think about it instead of getting into like a big brawl. So,
well, I mean, it's
depending on the situation. But
sometimes as you get older, you learn finesse.
Yeah.
Sometimes, and then sometimes you get all up in a bunch of 18 and 19 year old boys' faces in a Target.
Yeah. but I have noticed in the past year or so that finesse does work, because you know I'll do that what you just said, say my piece, let it go, and then I've seen more than once a few days later somebody will post, you know, maybe I thought about that wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah. I don't go back and say yeah, but just in my head.
It's like, well, I'm glad you thought about that. Yeah.
So, and that's why we do what we do, right? To get people to think about it.
Exactly. Exactly. And to not, you know, cut people out of a conversation, because I mean, we have people come to our site a lot, and they come in and they're kind of immediately confrontational, but we don't block them most times unless they're being offensive, right? And we don't, you know, ignore them, but I try to engage them in real ways and say, hey, let's talk about this, and let's talk about, you know, why this is an issue, and see if we can, you know, get to understand each other a little bit more.
Right.
So, yeah, so I think, you know, like I said, with age, maybe, comes a little more finesse.
Yeah, maybe. Some days.
Absolutely. So, yeah, that was my first aha moment. And my second aha moment was actually the thing that led to Not Your Mama's Gamer. Because Alex and I had been chatting once or twice, and we had been talking about other podcasts that we were listening to way back in the day, because it's been almost 4 years now. God, can you believe it? 3.5 years now.
No, I can't.
I know, it doesn't seem like it, does it? It's been 3.5 years now, and podcasts were just kind of getting big, and there were very few podcasts that had women on them. And even fewer that were all women. And I was just not seeing what I thought would I wanted to see in terms of podcasts doing feminist critique, because there weren't any podcasts doing feminist critique. There were, you know, podcasts that talked about gaming as women, and all these other things that are great. Right. Don't get me wrong, but they weren't doing feminist critique, and they were clear about that. And it was just kind of picking at me little by little. It's like, oh, I want that. I want that to be here, but it wasn't. So I had, you know, kind of hemmed and hawed about it a little, and then I don't remember what it was. Something happened. And Alex Lane came into my office one day, and she goes, we need to do a podcast.
Something made her mad.
And yeah,
tell us.
And that was what I needed to kind of push me over, because I was like, okay, so now, even though I've wanted to do this for a while, I couldn't kind of justify doing it to or putting it together in my own mind just to satisfy or sate my own desire for a feminist podcast. Well, I was like, now it becomes a teachable moment, and I can bring...
bring students down the rabbit hole.
I can bring students down the rabbit hole. Trust me, Alexa was already halfway down that rabbit hole before she even got here. And so, you know, and I was like, sure, let's do this. So
I think you should stop calling her Alex Lane, though, because she's going to get mad.
Oh, I'm sorry. Dr. Alex Lane was already halfway down that rabbit hole before she got here. So that was kind of my second aha moment. It was kind of that realization that I needed something else. You know, I needed more. And that was that fun bit for me. Yeah. So I had two aha moments.
I guess I did too, but I didn't know my first one was an aha moment until after, months after, with heavy rain.
Yeah. Every rain can do that to you, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I am telling you.
My star's getting frisky over here.
I was like, what is wrong with her?
No, the star started to make noise.
She's mad.
She wants to play.
Oh.
I think she hears me talking and she's like, oh, we're talking.
You're talking to me.
Yes.
So, yeah. And Alex still hasn't made it back. So, you know what? We're going to give... We'll go through some of the other things, and if she shows up before we're done, we'll let her share her aha moments. If not, we'll make her write about it.
Okay, sounds good.
So, I don't know if we have deals for this week, but we definitely have something.
I thought you had plugged them in, but that's last time's, I guess.
Yep.
But the reason I thought you plugged them in is because one of them is, in fact, the Humble Bundle, so... The weekly sale this time. Let me pull it up again. I didn't pull it up because I thought you had, but anyway. I guess that was me from last time. The Humble Bundle weekly sale this time is pretty cool. I have everything, of course. But if you don't have everything, it's awesome. Particularly because it has Limbo, which is one of my all-time favorite games.
Which in the weekly sale, right?
Yeah, weekly sale. But it has Thomas Was Alone. All of these are probably good. I'm just naming the ones that I love.
Mm-hmm.
Limbo, Lone Survival, Survivor, which I've been talking about lately.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of pay what you want, but if you want the really good ones, you got to pay $6.
So. Yeah.
And then I had one last night, but I'm not sure if it's still a thing, so let me check.
Well, while he's checking on that, if you also, the Humble Bundle, if you have a an Android device, the Humble Bundle, which is pay what you want as well, but to get all of the games, you have to pay over the average, which is, as of this moment, is $5.31. Mm. You get great games for your Android device. You get The Cave, which is that Double Find adventure game.
That was terrible. I'm just saying.
It might be better. I think it would be better on a touchscreen device.
It might be. It might be easier to deal with. Room 2.
The Room 2, yeah. And if you like Euro board games, Carcassonne, right?
Yeah.
So, and all of those, but you also get Paper Monsters, R-Type, and EnviroBear 2010 as the premium games, then Bagot, R-Type 2, and Rotten, the Sword and Shadow are the ones that you get no matter what. So that if you have an Android device, that's a great deal.
You know, yeah, I can see what your point on the Cave and Android. The mechanics were too frustrating, and
that was the thing about the playing it on PC or console is that the mechanics were frustrating.
It just took too long to get anything done. It might work better with a touchscreen.
It might. Yeah.
The Room 2, I haven't played that one. The first room was really cool.
It was.
Yeah, so that's that. The one I thought, the one I was going to talk about yesterday is gone now, so we'll just not talk about that.
Okay.
It should make you sad because it was Portal.
Well, I got Portal.
I know you do, but other people might not, and they should.
But it's all about me.
Of course, yeah. Well, if you... Too bad you missed it. Portal 2 was $5 yesterday. So. And both of them together were $6.24. Nice. On Steam, but it'll probably come back around, so just hold on.
Well, you know, the Steam Summer Sale is going to be coming soon enough.
Ah, true. That's dangerous territory for me.
I know. I'm determined this year not to buy a bunch of crap on the Steam Summer Sale.
Well, when I was looking through my Steam library recently, there's games on there that I really want to play that I literally didn't know I had.
Well, I've done that before. I've gone, like, seen that games were on sale on Steam and go, oh, I'm going to buy that. And it'll go, and I'll go click through and it'll be like, you already own this game.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, I'm trying. I'm going to try not to go crazy this year on the Steam Summer Sale because I'm pretty sure I haven't played 25% of the shit that I bought on last year's Steam Summer Sale.
No, I actually went and counted. I forget the number now, but I went and counted, and there's something like... Just the ones I want to play still. Because, you know, with Humble Bundles and whatnot, you get a lot of games that you don't care about.
Yeah.
But there's like 30 games or something that I own that I want to play still.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
That is a lot. You haven't even been able to play them long enough to see if you hate them.
Yeah, that's true. In some cases, I know I love them and just don't ever go back.
Yeah, that happens too.
So... Yeah, all right. that's all I've seen. There hasn't been a lot lately. I don't know why.
Well, people, we're getting ready for the next wave of AAA titles. And not even the next wave of AAA titles, but the next wave of any titles is coming up, too, because we got Transistor coming from blah, blah, blah. From blah,
blah, blah. Cool, because I need some new games. I see.
Supergiant Games.
Cool. I need some more games.
Transistor's coming next month, May 20th, from Supergiant Games. You got Transistor coming. We've got Watch Dogs coming. We got all kinds of new stuff coming. So it's kind of in this lull period.
Yeah, that's what I figured, because there was not much yesterday. There's not much today. So.
Yeah, so we got some stuff coming, but we're in a lull right now, and that's okay.
Yeah, it definitely is.
We need lulls every now and then to catch up on the stuff that we haven't had a chance to play yet.
Sure, buy a new console and a couple new games. I mean, either way.
Yeah, I want to see how long you're going to hold out on that Xbox One.
At least until after Scotland. I'm not going to Scotland and leaving that thing in my house. So.
Let me take it with you. I'm kidding.
It'd be like my whole luggage, you know, allowance.
Yeah, because that's heavy.
Yeah.
So... I guess we can talk about our next show.
Oh, okay.
you're like, oh, okay. Wow. So we've got episode 77 coming up, where in episode 77, thanks to Charlotte, we are going to, and it's a game that Charlotte has talked about before.
Yeah.
Right, Dominic Pamplemousse.
Mm-hmm.
Which is an indie game that it was a finalist, right?
Yeah.
In the IGF, the Independent Games competition. And it's a game that's made by Deidre Kai. I hope is how you pronounce her last name or their last name. K-I-A-I. And it looks like a very, very cool game. It is a musical mystery game.
Yeah.
It looks awesome and it's so quirky and fun, and that's everything I love about an indie game.
It's only $5 if you're looking for a deal.
Yeah, it's only $5 on Steam. That should be your deal of the week.
Yes.
Because Deidre is going to be here to talk to us about their game on our next show.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be a whole lot of fun. So, and we're all going to play, going to have played the game by the time, all of us that are going to be there are going to have played the game by the time that one rolls around. So, there may be some spoilers. So definitely for folks who are listening, you might want to check out that game before next time, or you can just buy it and support a great indie game, or a fun indie game, or a quirky indie game. But definitely, I'll put a link in the show notes. You can check out the video and see how, and see what I mean about quirky and fun. And we'll see how that works out next time. I'm excited for that.
I am too. I'm very thrilled. So,
yeah, I'm always. It's been a while. Well, not a while, but it's been a little bit. It's been a couple months, probably. With the way as crazy things have been around here since we've done an interview show. So I'm glad we're getting back to our interview shows. I miss them.
Yeah.
Awesome. So that's going to be episode 77. And this brings us to the end of episode 76 as replete with our Comcast issues as we have been this week. As a whole, jeez, it's been crazy.
Yeah, I'm happy I made it through.
See, I have my brand spanking new modem because mine died, and I just went and got a new one instead of waiting 2 weeks this time.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely just take it to them. Don't. Yeah. No.
So, that's like I said, that'll bring us to the end of episode 76. And until episode 77, if you want to get in touch with us and leave us voicemail, video mail, email, you can do all of those things. You can email us at nymgamer@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at nymgamer. You can check us out and like us on Facebook and have kind of links to all of our daily pithy blog posts at facebook.com. Just look for Not Your Mama's Gamer. And if you want to just put us in your RSS feed so that you can see our blog posts every day, or just stop by every day as a part of your regular morning routine with your cup of coffee, you can go to nymgamer.com. Right? Does that cover everything? Oh, Tumblr. See, if Facebook and all those other things is not your thing, you can go to nymgamer.tumblr.com. So, until next week, folks, stay warm, stay dry, because apparently it's raining. And as always, game on.
Game on.